We have a closed session?
Yep.
Sorry for my punctuality. Blame more of the board.
Okay.
And my truck says 7:20.
Okay, we're coming out of closed session, and it was just a discussion. Okay, next item is discussion to alter work schedule for selected employees.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we were kind of thinking, just trying to think outside the box and figure out ways we could save money. With everything in the economy going the way it is, PG&E going up, everything going up, we were kind of just bouncing ideas off each other on how to save money. And this isn't a giant money saver, but we've discussed it before, and we think we could save money in overtime by switching to a 4-10 schedule for the guys. They obviously would like it just from it being a a nicer schedule for them. I like it for the fact that I think I have assembled a pretty quality team here, an A team, and I have a feeling in the next couple of years people are going to start trying to poach them. So I'd like to try to make it as favorable of the situation as we can here at SCORE. And 4-10s, you know, working 4 days is better than working three. Me and Mitch have sat down. Mitch has done a lot of the legwork on this, actually. That's why he's here today, if you guys had any questions specifically for him. And we're not all the way through it by any means, but we feel like we'll get better coverage, have less overtime on call outs, and the guys will be a little bit happier with their schedule. With that being said, the guys are not unhappy with their schedule right now. They are perfectly happy, and if this was something the board did not want to entertain, they are fine to keep 5-8s. It's not something that they're willing to negotiate or trade anything with. They just, like I said, it's kind of a win-win in my opinion. SCORE can save a little bit of money, and we can make it a little bit better for the guys. With that being said, I'm coming to you asking for the ability to kind of explore further. Probably going to have to get the attorney involved to see the legality and how all this would change and what policies we would need to adjust to make it work. We've been talking about maybe having a CTO policy that would go along with it, just because, for instance, SCORE gives, like on Memorial Day, you get 8 hours pay for Memorial Day, 8-hour holiday pay. Well, if you were actually off, you're gonna have to burn 2 hours of vacation to not be here that day. So we figured that's not the best scenario. So if we give them the option to, instead of take overtime every time, they can take CTO, put it in their CTO bank, and then use those hours to fill in for those type of things like that. We would probably, me and Mitch have been talking about probably having, you know, a 40 hour cap on that. So that's not just something that they can just build up and have this, you know, I'm leaving now, you owe me $40,000 in CTO. No, yeah, we don't want
it. Becomes unfunded.
Exactly. We don't want anything like that. So we thought we'd have a pretty short cap on that. And basically just enough hours where they could use it to kind of offset those days, those holidays. And CTO is also great, just for them to have the option. You know, they right now we don't have a CTO policy, so they come in, they work overtime, they get overtime. But it is nice just to give them the option. Even if they always take the overtime, them knowing that they have the option always makes people feel better. So
would they be able to use it like they have to take an afternoon off, and instead of using vacation, yep, they could use CTO?
Yep, they could use it just the same way as vacation. It would still be up to his approval, you know, and before I even see a vacation request, these two guys see it and approve it before me.
Right, okay.
So same thing, if we're, you know, it's not like they can come in with this trump card and be like, I'm going home today, I got CTO.
Right.
No, it's still manager and supervisor
approved.
Right.
I have a doctor's appointment next week, and I'd like to use CTO.
Exactly. It'll just give them another bucket of time off that they can dip into without having the and basically we thought it would be good for the 4-10 scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So what does CTO stand for?
Compensatory time off.
Oh, okay.
So it's just another bucket of leave. Mm-hmm. So right now we have sick leave, we have vacation, and then they'd have that as well.
Have you checked to see if that complies with the state of California?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you'd have to, that's where Ryan would come in. Ryan, you could speak on that.
Yeah, it's definitely legal. It's there's no issue there. It's really a policy decision from the board and how comfortable you are with it. Glenn is right. We would have to work with the groups to make sure and adjust the policy accordingly. But you have the legal right to do it, or opportunity option to do it, I should say.
Now, is everybody going to be on the same schedule?
So we would split it because we still have a weekend guy. So we would have a couple guys Monday through Thursday, a couple guys Tuesday through Friday, and then a weekend guy that would work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
That would keep us, what would the numbers be, Mitch, exactly? We'd have, what, 3 on Monday, 3 on Friday, and 4 the rest of the week.
Yep.
So we'd be pretty well staffed.
Should be covered.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody here
all the time. It won't change. It won't change scores bottom line on money at all. It'll just have people here 2 hours extra a day, and I think actually it'll save score money. So it's not going to cost anything, and that's why I kind of think it's a win-win, you know. And originally the discussion started as a cost savings discussion, and then it was like, well,
it's, I mean, also a morale.
It's also a morale, yeah, thing. Exactly.
What day did you do, Richard? Do you have a double up day in this?
The double up?
Well, I think you're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah, overlapping.
Yeah, we have some overlap.
And then you're going to rotate it, so
basically guaranteed Tuesday through Thursday that overlaps with each other.
That would be a full day.
And then the weekend guy would also be overlapping Fridays and Mondays.
Fridays and Mondays, yeah. But on some of those overlapping days when you almost have a full crew, you could plan a bigger project, mm-hmm, when you have everybody here. Yeah,
exactly, and that's probably, yeah, you know, that would be Mitch and Micah, because they're the ones that are, you know, kind of coordinating.
We're willing to micromanage now.
Yeah, they would set up the bulk of the big work like that to be done during those overlapping,
right,
days.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna rotate it so guys get Fridays, and then maybe a couple months down the road they get Mondays.
Exactly.
Yeah, I took like 20 minutes and made a mock schedule just to make sure it worked. It kind of went out in 6 months, and everything seemed like it flowed fine with the on-call and the weekend shifts.
Good.
So did...
good with, go, good with me.
Uh-huh.
I just meant it was good with me.
Yeah. Okay, I was just going to say, pretty much everybody in the crew is good with this?
Yeah, it wasn't a single...
You've had no negatives?
Okay. No, there's a lot of positive.
Okay.
Everybody wants it.
Okay.
And obviously, like I said, we're just asking kind of for direction or to maybe explore a little bit more. We're not ready to bring it to you guys for any type of vote. But our kind of what we were thinking is, even if when we do get to that point, we would kind of bring it to you like on a trial period. Like, can we do it for a year? And then after a year, we'll look at it, bring it back to you guys for an official, this is going to be the new way we do it at SCORE. And then I'll kind of give you my opinion. I don't think it works, or it worked great, or, mm-hmm, or whatever. So, but that wouldn't be like until next month or the month after's meeting. And we wouldn't be looking to implement until probably the new fiscal year, like July 1st.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. If you look at the studies, the 4-day work week is much more preferred than any other work week that's out there. And believe it, I come from the fire service. We used to have 14 different pay scales for comp time training, comp time off, comp time vacation. I mean, we have bizarre numbers of stuff. So my only hesitation with CTO is to make sure it's confined to a particular activity. Sometimes guys would go out for extra training that they chose to go to, and they would receive, instead of cash money for overtime to go to that training, they would receive comp time training. And comp time training had restrictions on it, so I just be careful how far you go with CTO.
Gotcha.
It can be a big elephant to come in the room. And also the approval basis on CTO, make sure it doesn't prevent your hit or hinder your operations.
Yep.
And because I've seen people abuse it, and just because that's my experience. But I think your idea is a great idea, and it makes sense for people, because really most jobs nowadays is not generally the compensation, it's the benefits, mm-hmm, that make the job.
Yep.
And that's what people consider. So it's a great idea.
Yep. Having experience with 410s and CTO and that, this will be brand new to these guys, and it'll take them a couple of years to figure out how to make it for their benefit. So you'll have a chance to see what's going on and see who likes it, who doesn't like it, who's looking for a way to use it to their advantage.
Yep.
So, but other than that, I think it's a great idea.
And then we figure that year trial period, if we like it, we could figure out any holes, any problems, fix them, and then, you know, have a better yeah, you know.
Well, and we live in a society that's so busy right now, especially if employees have families and they got ball games to go to and all kinds of things. They're having ball games around the clock almost nowadays.
Yep.
And it's just like
all of our operators are between 28 and 33 years old. They're all right in that wheelhouse. They either have kids or they're trying to have kids right now. So this would be very beneficial for them in their personal life, for sure.
Yeah. One other question, Mitch. Have you, in your research that you're doing on this, is there any other like-type industries that you've been able to tap into and see if it works for them?
I actually came from a place that doing the same thing I'm doing now that did 4/10. We used comp time to offset, because we didn't have staffed weekends, we used comp time to actually offset the time we had to go in and do a round and do all that.
Right.
Rather than take overtime, and you know, saving money was a big deal anyway.
Okay, so you've had experience with it too then?
Yeah. Me too. I worked in the city of Calusa for 7 years before I came here. That's who I stole Mitch from, was the city of Calusa.
Right, okay.
And, and we had it there.
Okay, so you know how it works then?
I do, yes.
Perfect. And I experience know. Experience in it. They put us on 4/10s, then we worked 6/10s.
Which mill was that?
You name it. I go and do maintenance on Sundays.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. I worked in mills.
But yeah, anyway. I can speak from personal experience. It was nice to have the 4/10s. Yeah. When I came to score and went to the 5/8s, it was tough on me. I mean, I'm glad I did it, but it was it's a nicer schedule for the guys working it, or for the women working it, for sure.
Okay. I don't think we need to do it.
If you figure out production, 4/10s, 4/10s is optimal.
Yep.
Production. Mm-hmm. So, in this business here, it should be perfect. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so there's your direction.
Cool. I appreciate it. We will investigate it, and we'll bring back some more information for you next month.
Okay.
Perfect. Mitch, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Mr.
I know that Manager Servant kind of took the bull by the horns, but we do appreciate you staying and being present here to answer questions, and we appreciate the hard work you're putting in to make this happen. You know, you're doing all this and you're keeping your job up, and you know, so I applaud you for that.
Yeah, Mitch is a stud. Mitch makes
our jobs a lot easier.
He's good. Yeah. He's going to get all embarrassed and want to run out of here.
Wait a minute.
He's already turned red.
I had a little, let's say, optimism maybe when he was a little whippersnapper. But he's grown into quite a fine young man.
Oh, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah. Yes.
Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
Okay, item number 11, enter into funding agreement with Butte County for CDBG monies.
Yes, Madam Chair. So this is our official sign the document, and hopefully they bring the Brinks truck and just drop the $10 million right here. No, we need to enter this agreement with the county to get the grant money that we received through the CDBG funds. So we're just asking that you guys approve us entering into that agreement.
And this is, if I can add on to what Manager Sturdivant said, this is will be the first of two agreements that we will be required to enter into for this money with Butte County. This first portion is just the administrative portion. So last month, I believe we approved entering into an agreement with Adams Ashby Group to be the administrator.
That's when we put the amount in and everything.
Correct. Right. This agreement will give us the funding out of the grant monies to help fund that contract. And there's more than enough there. And if there's extra monies reserved left over, it can be shuffled back towards the other portion of the project, the construction phase. So,
are you happy with the agreements?
Yeah, we had Attorney Jones go over it. He did a couple little edits. We sent it back to the county. They had a couple little edits, and it went back and forth a couple times. But yeah, we're happy with it.
Okay. Any questions?
One question. What, if I may, Attorney Jones? What attorney are you working with that county admin?
You know, I didn't work directly with them. I got the document, I made my edits, and they sent it over to them. So I don't know who the county council is there.
Okay, I'm just curious. I had quite a bit of experience with them, and I'm just curious who was still around. Thank you.
Yeah, our lead person at the county that's kind of taken this over at this point is Tracy.
Yeah,
Tracy Davis.
Okay.
She's been awesome to work with. Before her, it was Cherise Allen. She was great to work with, but now it's kind of altered into Tracy's.
They're both in the administration department.
Right. Yeah. No, I know both of them. They're very good.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve entering into a funding agreement with Butte County for the CDBG monies.
Do we need to authorize you to sign, or is that enough?
Do they need to authorize me to sign that?
I think that's sufficient.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
And we need a roll call for this one since we're entering into a financial agreement. Attorney Jones?
No, you don't have to. You only do it if somebody's on Zoom. I'm the only one on Zoom, I think. So as long as the board members are all there, you can do just a voice vote.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not spending money. We're receiving.
That's true. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None.
Okay.
Approval of purchase offer of property for the new Ruddy Creek lift station.
Yes, Madam Chair. So you know more about this one than I do on this one. So we did have an agreement, and unfortunately for SCORE, Commissioner Mastalotto has been in Paris, so she wasn't able to lay her eyes on it until she got back, and she's got some questions. So we are kind of asking the board to approve the spirit of the agreement, while which you guys know the bones of it, the two EDUs, the 6-inch pipe and all that, but Commissioner Mastalotto wants to make sure that SCORE is protected in all ways. So her and Attorney Jones are kind of still going back and forth on language, but we'd kind of like an approval so that we don't have to wait until next month to come back, kind of in the spirit of the agreement, and then they will iron out the details, and I'll get you guys a copy of it before.
Just make a motion to let them deal it out.
Yeah,
we approve the draft.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your motion.
And truthfully, the major contents of the document aren't going to change. What we want to do is add some protective language to help the district, just in case a couple little nuances happen. So I do appreciate working with the chair. She had some really good ideas on how to secure that. But I think for the rest of the board's comfort level, the overall agreement won't be changed. So we're looking for a motion that says you give myself and the general manager the opportunity to finalize it, add language that protects the district, and to go ahead and give us the authority to execute it with the Hurlburt family. I think it's a Hubert family, maybe.
Hubert, yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when the final purchase agreement is complete, will you send me a copy before you sign
it? I'll send all of you guys a copy so you guys can all take a look at it before I do anything with it.
Okay.
Well, based on, I read this thing from cover to cover today, and the spirit of it is good. Yeah, so I think this is headed in the right direction. I think
we made a motion.
Is that a motion?
He made the motion.
He made the motion. I'll second it.
Tag
it,
okay. Made the motion.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay, so this next one is the one that we'll need to table.
So the discussion regarding changing the date and time of the regular SCORE meeting, we're going to table that until we find a date that is best for everyone.
What was wrong with that date?
She's got vacations planned because she based her vacations on the old date.
Both of us will be out of town.
Yeah.
So Gus is a doctor in Low, and so you have to make your vacation plans the year before.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably.
So that's kind of where we at. All of our vacations are planned for the third week.
I just asked. That doesn't matter to me.
Well, I thought I'd share with you, Brad.
Brad and I can show up anytime.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll table that. 14, adoption of city climate action plan.
This is a point, but so we're going to stick to the fourth Tuesday?
Yep.
Got it. Okay,
Madam Chair, so yes, so we have applied, we turned in our application for the state revolving funds loan program, and part of their scoring system, they like to see a climate action plan. And I felt like this benefited SCORE in twofold. The city's climate action plan that they've already, that they adopted, I believe in 2011, is that correct? 2015, I'm sorry. It states in there that SCORE will aim to get recycled water and use it to irrigate city parks, roadways, et cetera, et cetera. So I like the fact that that's the first document that's that SCORE will have adopted that actually has a direction that we would like to get into the recycle water game.
Gives you a little juice there.
Exactly. Huh? And also it gives us favorable, more points and a more favorable position to get the loan from the state of California if we were to go the loan route. Micah can probably explain it a little bit better than me, but.
Yeah, essentially, the state of California emailed me. This was the first I've heard of them since we submitted our SRF application back in December, other than receiving the acknowledgement from the electronic system. And they just had a question. I see the city of Orville has a climate action plan. Has SCORE adopted that? I said, no, but we can in our next meeting. You know? So
yeah, we're working on that right now.
Yeah, exactly. Funny you say. Funny you should say.
Sure. So I read it over. Actually, I have it right here. And there's really only two or three mentions of SCORE in the actual document. And one of them was what Manager Studervant said. Other than that, it acknowledges that, you know, we contribute to overall greenhouse gases in the city of Orville, and that the city would like to work with SCORE to produce recycled water for the city to help offset that carbon footprint. So,
and in fact, we already have, because when we had low water conditions, the city's tree watering plant used to come down here and get the tool water. Yeah. And run it through the water truck and irrigate the trees. So we've already done it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's kind of weird. We've already done it. We just now have to put
it on. We just want to do it on a giant scale.
Yeah.
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 Get some bigger water trucks, Dave.
So, yeah, so we're asking asking for you guys to approve us entering adopting the city's climate action plan, basically for favorable points for the SRF.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the adoption of the city climate action plan.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Amendment to the Yuba Planning Group LLC contract.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll let Supervisor Salcy run with this one. This is his baby.
So back in January, the commission board entered into an agreement with Yuba Planning Group to produce a NEPA study, a National Environmental Protection Act study for the plant upgrade project that's required because of this federal funding we're getting from the Federal Housing Agency. So as part of that, there was a basic understanding in the first agreement that Yuba Planning Group would work directly with SCORE to produce a document. My understanding was the same thing. They would produce an environmental document, bring it to the SCORE board as the lead agency, and the board would either reject or approve that document, and we'd move forward, submit it to the grant, and go through that process. However, after meeting with the consultant and Butte County, the HCD, the national agency, actually directed Butte County to be the lead agency on the environmental document because they are entering into a master agreement with the state, and they're the ones that are actually receiving the grant funds. So with that in mind, Yuba Planning Group had a lot of extra meetings associated with that. In addition to that, there is a little technicality between the original environmental document that we did for the plant upgrade with CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, and the time frame when that was being put together and when it was adopted. So this goes back a little ways. Several board members were actually not here at that time, but the project boundary changed in the middle of the creation of that document. And so from the time it was adopted and the time some of the technical studies were done, the project boundary changed. And it wasn't until we sat down with HCD and the county and the Yuba Planning Group that the HCD decided that we needed to go back and re-notice some of the things that were done in the CEQA document. And those were specifically the SHPO requirements, which are the State Historic Preservation Office requirements, and the tribal consultation, contacting all the local tribes. HCD actually has their own list of tribal organizations that we were required to list, which is bigger than the list that we did with the original CEQA document. So this is the reason why Yuba Planning Group has amended their contract with us for an additional, I think, $3,000 around there.
$6,720.
Exactly. So sorry for the long drawn out explanation, but those two reasons are the.
And this is for the plant upgrade?
Yes.
Yes, this is the environmental document for the plant upgrade. So, and this is money that's actually coming out of Score's pocket on this one.
Mm-hmm. And they realize it's all been dredged.
Yes. Yeah. So so far, the tribal consultation generated one letter back that said we have no.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Basically.
Okay.
It was just a lot of extra time and phone calls and meetings that she had to coordinate.
They weren't notified in the beginning.
Of the expanded project boundary, correct?
Well, I guess there's really no options except to approve it.
Essentially, we need to have it done to get the money.
Yeah, it would stall our progress.
So I make a motion to approve the amendment to the Yuba Planning Group LLC contract, not to exceed $6,720.
Second that.
Okay, and this one I'm going to do a roll call because it is money. So, Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Unanimous. Had a little slip of the tongue. I know, I had a little slip of the tongue. I was thinking of Lori, I got mad. I'm just joking.
Okay, finalizing and possible adoption of fiscal year 2023-24 proposed budget. Anybody have any questions?
So we did send out an email to amend the one that we gave you last month. That was because in this budget I had included a new utility vehicle. I also had that in last year's budget. We didn't know if we were going to be able to get it before July 1st, so that's why I included it in this year's budget. We've been since notified that we will have it before July 1st, so I removed it from this year's budget, and we sent you out a new Exhibit C through the email. So that would be...
Did you get that commitment in writing? Because every vehicle we've ordered has not been delivered.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. We have emails that say, you should get it by... It should be there by June. I think it was midway through June. So Mitch has been working with them pretty hard all year to get that thing going. But so we just removed it. So that's the only difference between the budget that you guys got to take home last month and this budget that we will be adopting is it'll be $20,000 less in Exhibit C.
Gotcha.
For that replacement fund or that replacement.
I didn't have any questions. Does anybody else have any questions? No. Nope. Somebody like to make a motion to accept it?
I make a motion that we accept the adoption of the fiscal year 23-24 proposed budget, considering that there will be a deduction for a utility vehicle that will be paid for in this year's budget, hopefully.
Second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Is the attorney still online?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Attorney?
Yeah, sorry, my camera just came off.
Oh.
No.
No, I put you on a back screen too because I was showing them the budget. So.
Hey, attorney's report. Do you have anything else to report, Ryan?
I don't. Not in addition to what we discussed already tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Manager's report.
Yes. So no big operational upsets or anything this month. It's been a pretty good month in the operations. We have switched gears. We are now in sludge season. So once it stops raining, We pump all the top water off of our solid storage ponds out there, and we start to dewater those. And then we will run our sludge equipment through that and turn it into powder, so that hopefully somewhere in July or August, we are taking that to Neal Road. So we are fully in sludge season now. Bad news on the influent pump station. We got pushed back again for a ship date on our VFTs to July 17th. I wish I could tell you I was confident that that would actually happen on July 17th, but this is about the fourth ship date that we've had, so I do not have any confidence that that will happen on July 17th. I got my fingers crossed.
Keep giving me a new date.
Yep, yeah. And that's what I feel like. They just push you off 2 more months, push you off 2 more months, push you off 2 more months. So I wish I could tell you it was going to be done shortly after July 17th, but I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers that it is, but I don't know.
If you would you refresh my memory what the VFD?
Variable frequency drive. So that's what runs the pumps.
Right, okay. I thought it was, but I couldn't remember that.
Yep, so that'll ramp up and down based on level in the wet well. It'll either run it fast or run it slow or whatever.
Yeah, because we've blown a few VFDs in there at the water plant. So.
Right, okay.
Let's see, what else do I have for... So, as Micah touched a little bit earlier, and we touched about the SRF, so we are moving forward on that application. We also were notified that, so we received an email from Congressman Doug LaMalfa's office that they were looking for projects. And so, of course, we jumped on that and put in our upgrade project to maybe get some grant money from the federal government in that regard. And Congressman Doug LaMalfa's office selected our project, at least for the first phase. That doesn't mean we're going to get money, but it's better than being not selected for the first phase. So I'm hopeful, and like I've told you before, our plan is to get nothing but free money. We don't want to take a loan if we don't have to. So we're leaving no stone unturned, and we're going out for all the free money we can. So that's a good news thing, and also the fact that we are moving forward on the SRF. That is good news if we do need it, but hopefully we do not. And I think that's it for me. Oh, I have one more thing. Environmental Compliance Supervisor Kendra Morgan to the CWA conference in San Diego last week. So we will have a report from her for next month's meeting on exactly what she learned. But I was pleasantly surprised when she came back, and because we sent her there to learn about all the new laboratory regulations that are going to go into effect in 2025. Kendra's so on the ball that she, you know, it wasn't money not spent well to send her down there, but she's like, I have 80% of those things already going on. She's that far ahead of the curve.
Sorry, on that thing. Got those in place.
Exactly. Yeah. She's that far ahead of the curve. So she did learn a little bit of what other things she needed to do, and she obviously got to experience going to some classes and going to a big conference like that, so that was educational for her. But like I said, I was pleasantly surprised. She came back, and I go, how much work we got to do now for this thing? And she goes, I've done 80% of it already. So it's like, awesome, amazing. But we'll have a better report for you next month. But I just wanted to let you know that was, she came back and she made it. She got down there and came back healthy, and everything's great. So that's all I got for the manager's report.
Okay, we don't have any visitors, so we don't have any visitor comments. Lastly, we have commissioner and staff comments.
Couple for me,
okay.
Real quick. I don't know if you know, but I went to Washington a week or so ago and attended the HUD conference and the National Housing Conference. And what Michael is saying about HUD being into detail, it's unbelievable the detail that HUD is doing right now. I said the one thing about the inspection reports for all the Section 8. Oh my God, I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding. It should be one piece of paper. No, it's 10 pieces of paper. For inspection of Section 8 housing now. It's just bizarre. So I sympathize with what you're talking about. Clearly it's a big deal. And the thought that we're gonna get any money out of this Congress is just pretty much dead idea. Nobody's talking to anybody back there. Normally this time of year they have potential agreements coming. There's nothing going on. So you've probably already seen that. And I was, you know, on the streets, we were at many congressmen's offices and nobody's talking to each other. So. It's a sad thing. The one item that I was advocating for in our housing at HC was is to get tax credits now come for these apartments. These affordable apartments, they're 9% tax credits. All these apartments are being built as private money. It's not government money. And they're after those 9% tax credits. They generally expire in 15 years. But there's a bipartisan proposal to put the 9% tax credits on single-family homes. Mm. And that gives the investor the idea to go into neighborhood, purchase, rebuild, and then turn it back to the tenants, or offer those tenants the ability to purchase at lower price. That's what's before them, and bipartisan has been presented at the Senate hearing. And we've got our fingers crossed that that'll pass, because areas like Chapmantown, mm-hmm. South Oroville will have the advantage of investors looking at it seriously for the tax credits. So we hope that comes about. If it does, you know, we'll see some new things being done here, and I hope that gets passed. It doesn't take any money because it's just a rule change for the IRS. So you're not looking at funding anything other than down the line tax credits, which the banks and the investors all like. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and just kind of personal note, but also on a government note, Mr. Ramsey gave us a presentation Monday on Rotary about the scanner theft that's going on right now. This county's getting hit hard. There's two Romanian crews, they call them, that have come through and just ripped us off on ATM machines and those devices. And he went through the great detail of the equipment they have. So, and they're really after government cards, you know, like an EBT card or something of those, because there's no one that's losing. It's a government card. So be careful what you do with your card. If you have a chip, the chip is the only one that they haven't been able to infiltrate. But swiping a card, he recommend not doing it anywhere, because they are, unless you can check out the device you're doing it, and the bigger banks are really being hit. He had numbers like a couple hundred thousand dollars has been ripped off here in Butte County alone.
No kidding.
Yeah, and there's Romanian crew one, he's got those in jail. Romanian crew two, he's got a portion of those in jail. And now they're seeing indications that Romanian crew three is hitting us now. So I only offer that as personal advice, but also for any government cards that are out there, just be very careful of what you do.
Are you still able, or maybe they talked about it, are you still able to, if you walk up to like a gas pump and it's got the old style, can you?
You should check it out and make sure it's not loose, and because they're making covers for them. They also have now installed little cameras above, so they may not have a device in there, but the camera picks up your PIN code when you hit the button.
Okay.
It actually audibly records the tone, so they can give you your PIN code in immediately, and somewhere in the area, someone's picking that up with a Bluetooth.
Wow.
So the sophistication level is outrageous.
Right.
So look up. Yeah.
As long as looking down, look up.
Especially if there's a light above the ATM,
yeah.
You'll see a little pin camera.
Okay.
Because it's hard to see past the light. So,
right.
And you didn't mention any bank other than Bank of America has been hit the hardest.
Hmm.
Okay. So do it inside, and the government cards, you know, and they are really looking for government cards because nobody complains.
Yeah.
You know, but the personal cards, you know, I was shocked, frankly, and I didn't know that we were being hit that hard here in this county. So I only offer that as information to the board and also for everybody else to pass along, because it was shocking what Ramsey put together for us. It was really, and he had all the tools. They got hardware like you can't believe. Some of it's expensive to buy, but Romania seems to be the hotbed for this stuff. And they're making it there like crazy because they infiltrate the European. Because Europe has been on this chip card way before we ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's what it's called, the EVM, European Verification System, or whatever the code number. So I only mentioned it because it was brought forth to us on Monday, and everybody needs to be aware of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, all of ours that have cards know.
I hate to see anybody get hit, but there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars hit here in this county already, so.
Definitely.
That's all I have. Just want to share.
Well, thank you. That was good information. So we're going to adjourn the meeting.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Oh. I thought you were going around.
Oh.
Hey, I got a couple things.
Yes, sir.
Where are we at as far as Prop 218?
We're still waiting on the completed study from...
It's not done yet.
It's not done yet.
Okay. And then the other thing is... I don't know if we addressed it this meeting or next meeting, but we talked about the sewerage guys.
Yep, the septage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's some long dollars just hanging out.
I agree. So my plan was to present something to you guys next.
That's fine.
Next meeting, yeah. My plan.
Because we'll get it in because you know you said you review every September.
Yep.
Now are we going to have 218 on that?
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Okay. That score is 218. That's not like how the other ones are, like Thermalito has to have one.
So we might as well just wrap it all into one.
If we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because anyway, what we're talking about, I don't know if you're aware of, but the septic is like, you know, for the septic pumpers to come in, mm-hmm. it's like 7 cents a gallon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neil Road's 45.
Oh.
Yeah, we're a little behind the curve. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, we're talking to Glenn about it and stuff, and probably around, what, 25, 28 or something maybe?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. It's probably, I think when I did the math on it, it's going to come out to about between 22 and 25 cents a gallon. So it'll be three times what we charge right now.
And it's it generates $200,000 a year.
Yep.
Yeah, but still cheaper than...
Still half what Neil wrote.
Half of what still half.
And we only offer that to our sphere of influence. So people can't come from Roseville or whatever with their septic trunks.
Right, because you take the chance of the heavy metals.
Exactly. So that's just for people in Lowepud's district, Thermalito's district, right. And the city's district that aren't on the sewer. Okay. We offer them that service.
$200,000.
Yeah, that's great.
Could change into $600,000.
Could change into $600,000 or $700,000.
Exactly.
That pays for a lot of little things.
Yeah, yep. Pays for a lot of stuff. Even some big.
You know, when you're staring down that extra 50 in the true up bill.
Yep. Exactly.
And it's going 20% more, well, you wouldn't even have to worry about that.
Then. That's true. So. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring that next month. We'll bring a plan to that next month. And then obviously, since that does take a 218, we'll try to coordinate that so that we can do that all at kind of one time.
Yeah, because I just seem to wait to address it in September.
So yeah, makes sense. It's money. It's revenue that we're not getting. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get another 3 months of that.
Yep. So, yeah. Yes, sir. Agreed.
Any other That's all I got. Questions? Thank you, Brad.
I'm good.
Okay. So when is the next meeting?
So the next meeting will be...
30th. Is that right?
May 30th, yes.
Tuesday, May 30th?
Okay.
At 5 p.m.
Okay. Our next meeting is May 30th at 5 p.m. It is 5:55, and the meeting is adjourned.
Good night, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you, Ryan. Have a good one.
I think it's May 24th, isn't it?